Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Today is Sunday, February the 20th, 2022. And in this episode, we're going to cover black folks getting crack pipes in the name of racial equality and the LGBT community get reparations. Loretta Lynch, former Obama administration attorney general, sells out and defends the NFL in a discrimination suit. And it is about to go down at the Chechnya border. We're going to cover these topics soon as we return from this short break. See you guys in a second. Peace. Hi, everyone. You're back on with Listen to L Boogie. We're going to cover our first bit of news. And this comes from Black Enterprise magazine. First black female AG will defend NFL in racial discrimination lawsuit. The National Football League has hired former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch to defend the organization against a class action lawsuit. Lynch, the first black female attorney general in U.S. history, will defend the NFL against former Miami Dolphins head coach Brian Flores in a class action lawsuit for racial discrimination. The NFL has also hired another Paul Weiss firm lawyer in Brad Karp, who previously defended the league in its concussion settlement. Lynch, a North Carolina native, has a wealth of legal experience. She's currently representing McDonald's against three high-profile racial discrimination lawsuits. In the past, she has represented Syracuse University in an independent review of its Department of Public Safety's handling of bias-related incidents raised by students during the 2019-2020 academic year. The Shaw University alum worked for former President Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and represented North Carolina State University in an NCAA investigation concerning money and other benefits allegedly offered to a former student athlete in violation of NCAA regulations. Flores, who the Dolphins fired in January, has filed a class action racial discrimination lawsuit against the NFL and three of its teams, the Dolphins, New York Giants, and Denver Broncos. In his suit, Flores alleges the Giants interviewed him for their open head coach position to fill the Rooney Rule, requiring and already knew they would hire Brian Daboll, a white coach. There are currently two NFL head coaches in the NFL where 70% of the players are black. Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin and Houston Texans head coach Lovie Smith, who was hired earlier this year. The Dolphins hired Mike McDonald, who identifies as multicultural. Flores' suit also alleged the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, offered to pay him $100,000 for each loss he incurred to secure a better position in the NFL draft. Flores added, when he refused, Ross painted him as a coach with disdain and held up as someone who was non-compliant and difficult to work with. The Dolphins have denied the allegations, however, Pro Football Talk reported if the allegations are true, Ross would likely be forced to sell the team. Flores also alleged the Denver Broncos conducted a sham interview with him in 2019 for their head coaching position, a claim the Broncos denied in a statement. All right. That's our first bit of news. And I will say this and be done. there is no way that there are only two African-American coaches in a football league that is 70% black. Something has to be done. I wouldn't paint Flores as a civil rights icon or that sort, because I'm quite sure the black coaches that are in head coaching positions know what is going on and has somewhat played the game to keep their position. That's all I have to say about that. As soon as we come from this short break, we're going to cover our next bit of news. See you guys in a second. Peace. Hi everyone, you're back on with Listen to L Boogie. Now we're going to cover a story of the black community is getting crack pipes in the name of racial equality, while the LGBT community gets reparations. First, Biden tax-funded crack pipes draw scrutiny. Reports of a new Biden administration grant program has drawn widespread criticism for its efforts to reduce the spread of disease by providing crack pipes at taxpayers' expense. The application window for $30 million harm reduction program grant closed Monday. The three-year grant program provides funds through President Biden's American Rescue Plan. The $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill pushed through by Democrats in March of last year. It specifically outlines safe smoking kits, supplies, and approved use of federal funds. It's crazy. The purpose of the program is to support community-based overdose prevention programs, sneering services program, and other harm reduction services, the grant said. Funding will be used to enhance overdose and other types of prevention activities to help control the spread of infectious diseases and the consequences of such diseases for individuals with or at risk of developing substance use disorder. A spokesman from the Department of Health and Human Services told the Washington Post, Free Beacon, which first reported the story, that the kits in question would include smoking any legit substance, such as crystal, methamphetamines, or crack cocaine. Other cities have experimented with distributing smoking kits, but federal distribution of illicit smoking devices are a new and controversial step. The program is designed to prevent the spread of certain diseases when users share crack pipes, especially when those pipes are cracked or broken. Smoking crack can lead to open sores, burns, or cuts to the lips, which could transfer blood to the crack pipe, said North Carolina Hard Reduction Coalition. If the pipes is shared, even a speck of blood can transmit hepatitis C. People who smoke crack, like everyone else, like to have sex. When you smoke crack, it often decreases your inhibitions and decrease condom use, which can increase exposure to HIV, STDs, and hepatitis. The grant also says its work aligns with advocacy's racial equality and support for underserved communities through the federal government. Republicans pushed back hard on the program, calling it a misuse of taxpayers' funds. Biden is spending free meth. Biden is sending free meth and crack pipes to minority communities in the name of racial equality. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, Republican Florida, said there is no end in sight for this lunacy. Other critics argue it flew in the face of Biden's recent pledge to be more strict on the rise of crime nationwide. Last week, Biden talked about being tough on crime, said Senator Tom Cotton, Republican Arkansas. This week, the Biden administration announces for crack pipe distribution to advance racial equality. The grant also allows federal funds to be used to purchase safe sex kits, including PrEP resources and condoms. The plan was mocked online. I have never in my life thought I would have to say this, but the proper role of government is not to fund the distribution of crack pipes, U.S. Representative Lauren Boebert, Republican Colorado, wrote on Twitter.
Wow.
Okay. Since this came out, the Biden administration, they're backtracking, saying that crack pipes aren't included, which what I just read is accurate. So what happens when stuff like this come out and you go online and do research per Google, all of a sudden you see all these fact checks come up. Fact check this, fact check that. When originally crack pipes was included in to be handed out. So now they're backtracking because they want to do damage control. Now on the other end, you have the LGBT community that's going to get thousands of dollars from the Biden administration. And we're going to give you that bit of information. Okay, the Biden administration is paying survivors benefits to LGBT elders. Okay, now, repeat this. Thousands of LGBTQ plus elders who were in long-term relationships before the legislation of same-sex marriage are now eligible for survivor benefits. Following a year-long battle, last November, the Biden administration dismissed Trump-era appeals to court decisions that had affirmed the rights of surviving same-sex partners to receive the spousal benefits, even if they were never able to get married, or if they were married for less than 9 months. In twin class action lawsuits initially filed in 2018 quietly, Eli versus Saul and Thornton versus Saul, the LGBTQ plus advocacy organization Lambda Legal made the case that survivors should not be denied these benefits because of past discriminatory legislation. Federal judges ruled in favor of the plaintiffs in both cases in 2020, but the Trump administration attempted to appeal the decision, delaying implementation of the benefits for several more months. In November, the Department of Justice and the Social Security Administration, now under the Biden administration, withdrew those appeals, enabling titular plaintiffs and all class members to receive monthly benefits and retroactive pay. I wanted the Social Security to see that here was a lesbian couple that was together 27 years, and here are the consequences of not having equal rights under the law. Helen Thornton, the named plaintiff in Thornton versus Saul, told New York Times in a recent report on the expanded benefits. Thornton, who shared a three-decade romance with her late partner, Marjorie Brown, now receives $1,849 every month, which is twice what she received prior to being paid survivor's benefits, according to the Times. Thornton also received a one-time $72,000 payment for the years that she was denied benefits after initially applying in 2015. Meanwhile, Anthony Gonzalez, a gay man whose experience was cited in the Eli case, now receives $1,800 every month in addition to a one-time payment of $90,000. Gonzalez was married to the late partner for 6 months. His home state of Arizona only began issuing license for marriage to same-sex couples in August 2013, and his partner developed rectal cancer and died in early 2014. When he was denied survivor's benefits because of the length, Gonzalez decided to fight it. We both believe that as gay men, we would have the same rights as anybody else, Gonzalez told the Times. The Social Security Administration reportedly been trained to examine factors that determine whether or not a couple would have been married, including joint bank accounts, leases, mortgages, insurance policies, or wills, according to the Times report. Evidence can also include sharing a home or even photos and love letters. Wow. Recloseting is an issue in both home care and residential settings, experts say. But specialized care can help LGBTQ plus seniors age in a supportive environment. Notably, both Johnson and Gonzalez described having been in economically precarious situations prior to receiving survivor benefits. Gonzalez lost his job soon after his partner died and had trouble finding another, while Johnson turned to pet sitting to supplement her benefits, living frugally and being unable to visit family often. They both fit into the broader demographic of LGBTQ plus elders who are disproportionately more likely to experience financial hardship. According to the report from the Movement Advancement Project and Services and Advocacy for GLBT elders, nearly one-third of LGBTQ plus adults age 65 or older live at or below 200% of the poverty level, with 48% of trans elders experiencing poverty. The disproportionate economic precocity that queer and trans elders face explain why the rules are so monumental and only adds urgency to public outreach. Advocates saying that the Social Security Administration must do more to notify survivors that they're eligible for the benefits at all. While the agency has reportedly notified 700 people who previously applied and were denied benefits, fewer than 100 claims were processed as of October. As writer Mark Joseph Stern noted for Slate, the responsibility to identify beneficiaries and help them claim their money now falls on the LGBT community and its allies, since many who are eligible will likely die without ever having claimed the thousands of dollars owed to them by the federal government. If you, well, I ain't gonna read that part. Okay. This is like, it's indescribable how they're talking about this particular group going through these things that black people have gone through since we've been in this country. But the Biden administration are paying them thousands of dollars. And it is like, this is so bad that it's just like, you, it's like you in a nightmare and you just can't wake up. You people who voted this man in office, and I'm talking specifically to the black voters who actually put him in there. If you stand your asses in line November to return the Congress and Senate the control so they could continue to spit in your faces, you are a damn fool. This administration in the past year or so has given out billions of dollars to every group that, and most of the groups, not to mention the LGBTQ plus community, the seniors, didn't even vote or aren't citizens. This is so bad. Now, it's not bad in the sense that these people are getting the benefits. That's not the bad thing. The bad thing about it is that our community need resources. Not a damn holiday. But you Biden supporters, come on, man. I'm at a loss for words. This is so terrible. But you still, some of you still gonna stand your ass in line in 2024 to reelect this damn president. So you can continue to be disrespected. And to the black caucus and the black politicians that you keep sending to office that align themselves with the Democratic Party to spit in your face, talking about a Warnock. Black faces in high places don't mean nothing. These blacks in these positions that with Congress and the Senate, they should be seen as traitors because they're right on the front line. They know what's going on. They know what this president is doing, and nobody's speaking up. The black caucus not speaking up. Two or three black senators aren't saying anything, and you don't hear anything from the black congressman about what this president has done in the past year for all these other groups and haven't done for the people that put him in office. If you stand your asses in line, and I'm going to make a video on my YouTube channel, because now that I read this, I heard, you know, Gloucester Wells, why are the black people getting crack pipes, but the LGBT community are actually getting reparations because they couldn't marry or receive benefits that quote unquote normal married couples of opposite sex would receive? And come on, man, really? Man. Let me get on to my next story before I. Ooh. Look, we come from this short break. We're going to go over our last bit of news concerning what's about to happen at the Chechnya border. about, I'm sorry, not Chechnya, but Ukraine border. See you guys in a minute after this break. Hi everyone, you're back on We're Listening to L Boogie. We're ready to cover our last bit of news for this episode. And this concerns the issue going on at the Ukraine border between the Russians and the Ukraine. Though Russia is claiming that they aren't going to invade, which is probably a stall tactic, here's actually what's going on. Excuse me. U.S. says Russia has added 7,000 troops along the Ukraine border despite claims of pullback. And this is by CNN. Russian forces massed along Ukraine borders have increased by approximately 7,000 troops in recent days, the United States alleged Wednesday evening, despite claims from Moscow it was pulling back. A senior U.S. administration official said the increase renders Russia's assertion of withdrawal false and warned President Vladimir Putin's public openness to diplomacy was a lie. Every indication we have now is they mean only to publicly offer to talk and make claims about de-escalation while privately mobilizing troops for war, the official said, and I quote. The new estimates would place the number of Russian forces north of the 150,000 figure President Joe Biden cited in a televised news address earlier this week. Western leaders had alleged greeted Russians' claims of withdrawal with skepticism. On Tuesday, Biden said during a speech in the East Room that a withdrawal of Russian troops would be good, but that he had yet to see any evidence that such a pullback was underway. Our analysis indicate that they remain very much in a threatening position, Biden said. And the fact remains, right now, Russia has more than 150,000 troops escalating Ukraine and Belarus and along Ukraine border. The senior official again warns Russia could use a false pretext for an attack, including making claims about NATO activity or an incursion into Russian territory, or alleging atrocities were occurring in eastern Donbas region, which has been under the control of Russian-backed separatists since 2014. We would expect more false reports from Russia's state media over the coming days, the official said. We don't know what form the false pretext will take, but we hope the world will be ready. The announcements delivered on an early evening briefing call painted the stark picture of the U.S. and Europe wait on tenterhooks for Putin to signal his intentions. American officials have said the withdrawal is open for a potential invasion. American officials have said the window is open for a potential invasion, but that the Russian leader will still need to make the final decision. A day earlier, Biden had seized on signals from Moscow that it is willing to resume negotiations, saying there was plenty of room for diplomacy. But the official, speaking a day later, largely discounted those prospects while still saying talks will continue. Okay. That's what's going down. So you can just expect them to eventually they'll go ahead on an attack. Now I'll end with this. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said in a morning interview Wednesday, there is a difference between what Russia says and what Russia does. All right. Well, that's the end of this episode for Sunday, February the 20th, 2022. This is Boogie. And I'll see you guys on a new episode of Listen to L Boogie. Like I always say, y'all be good to each other. Try to love each other. I know it's hard. I'll holler at y'all again on another episode of Listen to L Boogie. I'll holler at y'all later. Peace.